let the record reflect that all members are present.
Okay. And seeing no public, I'll open it and close it. Draft meeting minutes to be approved, January 29th, 2018.
Move approval.
My second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Mm-hmm. All those opposed? Pass. Item D1, discussion regarding the solar plants.
Okay, so we were asked to look into, once again, the potential viability of solar panels to offset electricity costs. It's been several years since that was done. We worked with a consultant on this for an initial appraisal, and Sue is here to give you a report on it.
Okay, so I searched renewable energy consultants in Northern California, and Bob Parkins, Bob Parkins Renewable Energy Consultants, was the number one that popped up. I spoke with him, and he's been in the solar industry for 26 years. I gave him information that we had 30 acres located at our wastewater treatment plant 2.
How many acres?
30.
30.
Approximately. And I attached for you a picture of the plant there. Bob said that 30 acres equates to 6 megawatts of energy. So he came back with his options. He presented two different types of systems. One is a fixed ground mount system. It faces due south with a 25-degree module tilt. The other is a single-axis tractor that moves to follow the sun. He said the difference is the single-axis tractor takes less space and has a greater return on investment. He said the tractor system, has this one that he gave us information on, has been in existence for 22 years. Now, the tractor has more motors and controllers than the fixed tilt ground mount, so there's more maintenance with the tractor. The town would need to contract out the maintenance because it's not something that we know how to do. There is a warranty period for both systems. The town would get, in his words, more bang for the buck with the tractor system. But he did say the fixed tilt ground mount has fewer things that could go wrong and maybe more dependable. Both systems that are shown here in the paperwork that I gave you are very reliable and very good. And he said the industry has come a long way and knows the systems really well. So in looking at the paperwork, the fixed tilt ground mount would cost $1.8 million, and the single-axis tractor would be $1.7 million. And he said these are based on actual recent figures. I gave him 12 months' worth of PG&E bills. So on the first spreadsheet, it shows the electric load and system sizing. So it goes back to April of 17 and then goes through April of 18 to show the different peak usage and the winter usage. PV, do you know what PV means? I learned a lot with this.
Present value.
No, but good. It means photovoltaic. Thank you. And photo, just in case you want to know, is Greek for light. And voltaic is named after the Italian physicist Volta. And Volta came up with watt and how it's measured by energy per volt from the sun. Right?
Just in case you're ever on Jeopardy.
Exactly. Voltaic energy per watt. So then going on to the two systems, so if you want to lay those side by side, the single axis and the fixed ground mount, he said that the pricing that's shown are based on actual current prices
So just so I've got three, right? A single sheet?
Yes, that is showing, the single one shows the energy needs for the year. Yeah.
And then the two that we have.
Those are the, yeah.
One's for the fixed and one's for the
single axis tracker.
Fixed, got it.
Correct. Okay. And so the cash investment is based on current installation and system costs. And you'll see that by year 8 for both systems, that's when you start to show a positive on your return on investment.
Did he say this? I'm sorry. Did he say what the warranty period was?
I did not get that. But I do have his phone number, so if you wanted to talk with him, I told him in case we call, we might be calling.
Did he say what it would cost for him to develop an RFP?
No, I did not get that.
So a lot of preliminary stuff, which is good. Yes. What? So we spend about, I'm kind of simple, but we spend about roughly $70,000 a month right now, PG&E, with, and that's PG&E for us total, and 90%, 95, 98% is the waste plant. Do we know what?
Well, I wouldn't say 95% because we have two water plants that utilize a lot of, quite a bit of water and electricity.
Okay.
So we have the Newport plant and we have...
I retract the 90 some
other. Yeah. No, I wouldn't say
So the two plants. So knowing it's 70,000 and just being a layman, what would it be after we get the solar panels in? I know it's calculated here, but more into the kilowatts and then some final numbers. So we're going to see the 70 drop to 30 to... Mm-hmm. 10, do we have any idea? Can they do that for us?
Well,
because that's more for the layman than we can actually see dollar to dollar instead of kilowatts, because a lot of people aren't going to understand kilowatts and PVs.
Right. He did say that if we decided to move forward, we would need to contact our PG&E account person to say that we want our tariff rate changed to the medium general demand metered time of use rate.
Okay.
Well, that's if you move forward.
Yes, right. I do have, if you wanted to ask questions, do you want me to? I do have his number, and he is standing by if you have questions that you want to talk to him about today.
Okay, yeah.
Call him.
Call.
So on the, then I'm jumping a little too fast maybe, I think, but 1.7 to 1.8 fixed tractor, right? Mm-hmm. So it's 100,000 difference. I do notice, I don't know how many of
you have the figure for that.
There's three solar panels.
Of what we use in
there. No, I don't know.
So there's three solar panels, a little farm when you come out past the dumps going to Livermore on the right side, three large panels for the farmhouse there. There's a tractors, and I watched them. I go out there every Thursday, and I would say at least once every 2 or 3 months, one's not working.
Yeah, probably because of the motor.
But it's often, is my point. So the tractor, when they say higher maintenance, understood.
We are in the middle of our meeting, and we have our members here, and they had some questions. Can I put you on speakerphone? Okay, hang on one second. Okay, all right, Bob Perkins, here is our committee.
Good morning, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Can you tell us a bit about what the warranties are on these type of facilities?
I wonder if you could get a little closer to the speaker because I'm not hearing you.
I'm kind of moving the phone.
Yeah, this isn't going to work. Okay, start again.
They were asking about the warranty, Bob.
On the warranty?
Yeah.
Line that they will guarantee
So is there any, the question was on inverters, but as I look at the home units, every 5 years or 4 years there's something that has to be replaced or upgraded. Do we have such a situation with this?
That was the situation years ago, and as the inverter reliability in the industry has increased dramatically, and that's why they're going up to 15-year warranties.
Okay.
Now, along with that, that's why when you have that 10-year period with the contractors, you're supposed to come out once a year and just take a look at every item on the system, one of them being the inverters. So it's good. I would recommend even considering you have a maintenance contract with a contractor where he'll do a little bit more than just take a look at it and see that it's working. But it's just like a car. If you buy a car, you change the oil and check the oil for the air pressure in the tires on a periodic basis. Same thing with inverters. You just need to check them periodically, see that if they have a fan to keep them cool, make sure the fan hasn't burned out so that you can replace the fan and keep the inverter cool and increase its lifespan. Same principle.
Okay. And we have, a few more questions. You got more?
No, go ahead.
1.8 to 1.7 between the fixed and the tracker, right? 1.8 million, 1.7 is what I just heard on cost. Is that correct?
The cost for a tracker, is that what you said?
Yes, the cost comparison.
Yeah, excuse me. I'm clearing my throat. What I did is I used actual numbers that I've seen from quotes for trackers. And so that number that I gave you is what you're seeing in the industry today for the total system.
So the difference between... Yeah, go ahead.
The installation and the modules and the wiring and everything.
Okay. So I'm a little surprised at only $100,000 difference because there is so much more equipment and technical issues with the tracker, I would assume.
Well, here's the reason why there's what you have to look at. The fixed tilt system is larger. There's more modules. So it covers a larger area. Think about it that way. The tracker, because it's about 25% more efficient. For the same amount of generation, I could use fewer modules.
I got it.
Therefore, you have fewer modules, and that is where you're picking up the cost savings.
I got it.
So
okay.
The total difference between the two looks to be very close, but the size of the systems are different.
Okay. And the question that goes with that is the tracker versus fixed. Of course, fixed, so you've got more mass, so you capture more, it's less efficient. I got that. I go by Vasco Road. I don't know if you're familiar with the area where you're located, but there are three trackers of a farmhouse there just past the, on the Livermore side, past the dumps on Vasco Road, just before Dalton. I go by there every Thursday, and at least once every 2 months or 3 months, one of the units has failed and is in a fixed position for about a week until somebody repairs it. And that's been ongoing for years now. So the dependability of the tracker on those particular three units seems very poor. Can you comment?
Yes. Now, was that tracker on a pole?
There's three independent...
on a pole.
On a pole, yes. Yeah, three independent units, assemblies, large ones, on three different poles.
I could respond to that. I have experience with those poles.
Okay.
It's been going on for several years.
Yes.
I can tell you that the pole-mounted trackers, which were originally designed for residential units, you know, smaller systems, have had their issues with reliability. Now, when you get into a fixed, if you get a horizontal tracker, just a long row, And it's only a single axis. It's not a double axis. So it just goes from east to west. It doesn't tilt. You know, it has a fixed tilt. It's pretty flat. And just goes from east to west. Those are much more dependable. And that is what the utilities are using for these huge systems that you'll see if you drive around California. And they're, you know, from 1 megawatt up to 200 megawatts in size.
Okay.
So the single-axis trackers is what we're talking about, not a double-axis that you're talking about.
Got it.
Are much, much more reliable. Now, that being said, if you felt a little bit uncomfortable with any potential future reliability issues of a tracker, then I would suggest just go to a fixed tilt ground mount, which that's one of the proposals that you see there, and you won't have to be concerned about that.
Okay, good. And of the, I think there's 30 acres, how much mass is this, is your proposal covering? All 30 acres, half of it?
Oh, no. Let's say if you take the fixed tilt system, I typically can get a fixed tilt system on about 4.2 acres.
Oh, wow.
And for your fixed tilt, your tracker, there's going to be a little bit more space. Maybe somewhere between 5 and 6 acres.
Okay. So the fixed is 4.2?
Yeah, that's what I've been squeezing in at. In California, yeah.
Got it.
In the valley.
Okay. And probably my last question is I had asked for some fixed dollars. I don't know if you would be doing that or we would do that through the finance side. We know what our PG... Say that again.
He wants you to repeat your question.
Oh, repeat the question. I haven't really gotten into the question, but I'm rambling. I would love to look at a comparison. Once you determine our monthly bill for PG&E, then what can we expect starting day, 30 days later when we get the next bill as a comparison? And what I'm trying to do here is to layman PVs and all of the other wattages and stuff is going to be Greek to a lot of people, but if we put raw dollars out there and show a comparison, it's going to help a lot.
Okay. To answer that question, the first thing that I would do is talk to your key accounts manager at PG&E to kind of nail down what the tariff is that they're going to apply to you. I'm suspecting that what they're going to do is give you probably an E19 rate or some equivalent, which has what they call a demand charge. And I know I may be speaking Greek to you all, but the bottom line is this. If you replace all of the kilowatt hours, you know, all the energy that you consume in a month to zero, you still will probably be paying about 40% or more of your old rate, of your old bill, in what they call the demand charge. So what I'm trying to say is the solar will not completely wipe out your entire electric bill. It will wipe out the energy portion. It will not do anything toward the demand portion. And what demand portion is, to give you, if you don't, would you like me to explain the demand portion?
Please, if it's not too late, DM.
Oh, no, it's I'll be glad to. Demand charge is a little trick that the utilities have come up with to recover some of the lost revenue that you're experiencing with all this solar generation. They're very, very clever. And what they say is that there are two components of your bill. One is the actual energy that you use. So when you have a pump out there in your water treatment plant and it's drawing a current from the utility, that's energy. But they also say that there's a demand charge. And what they do is every 15 minutes for that billing cycle. Now, a billing cycle could be like 30 days. So for every 15 minutes during the 30 days, they measure how much draw you're taking in power and the watts, kilowatts. And then the highest draw for any 15-minute period is then used as the basis for your demand charge. Now, what is this all about? The utilities are saying that, well, you may be providing your own power during the day when the sun is shining, but when you run your pumps at night, you have to bring in power from us, the utility.
Yes.
And we have to have a power plant online to support your needs when you need it. Or if during the day, when you normally are producing your own power, if a heavy cloud layer comes over and greatly reduces your solar radiation and therefore your solar generation, we, the utility, have to make up the difference. So we have to have a power plant online ready to meet that demand that you have. And we're going to charge you for that.
Okay.
So because your solar doesn't generate at night, you're going to be taking power from the utility at night, and that's when you can experience that demand. And since they're only looking for the maximum demand on any given 15-minute period, basically solar can't help you on the demand.
Okay. That's clear. Thank you.
That's good.
What about storage of energy? Yeah, the storage, how does that work? Is that included in the price? What type of storage? How do you store accumulated energy?
No, I just gave you a typical solar system without storage. A storage is an up-and-coming new technology that people are becoming interested in, and it's primarily the use of batteries. Lithium, ion batteries, big containers are the typical storage that they use. They also, if it's a very, very large utility scale system, there are other types of battery technologies. But basically right now the cost structure is that you can double the price, what you see right there, if you want storage.
And then your money associated with that as well, maintenance.
And destruction.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
And this is a purchase price, not lease, right?
Oh, you know, can I back up one moment? I spoke of energy storage. If you want to, like, run all of your energy at the nighttime.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. That's
not possible.
You know, to do this, it depends what your objective is. If you want to replace all of the energy you use day and night, you would store energy during the day when you're generating through the solar system and use it, you know, at night. But I'd have to increase the size of your solar system because the solar system would be doing two things. It would be running your daytime loads at the same time that it's charging the batteries, so it has to be a lot larger.
Sure.
So that you'll have that available. I wouldn't recommend that because that's going to be really, really expensive. Now, another strategy you could use is if you want to go after that demand charge, I'm going to back off on this. On some of my customers that are industries, that what I do is I try to control their load so that they don't have these big peaks that will cause them a huge amount of demand charge. I'll give you an example. I had an Indian casino down in Southern California, and they weren't watching their loads. And they turned on a bunch of motors and lights and all kinds of stuff all at the same time. And they had a huge spike, I noticed. And it really hit them with a $60,000 demand charge. So basically what you could do there is you could put in the storage system. Well, first of all, you want to have them control their demands better so they don't turn off everything at the same time and get a huge peak. But short of that, what you could do is put in a smaller storage system that all it does is that when it senses that everyone is turning on their motors at the same time, it supplies all of the energy for that moment, for that 15-minute period, and brings down that peak demand, and they can save money. But that's probably not your situation, because I think you pretty much run your motors all the time.
Right.
I know it sounds kind of complicated, but it's one of those things you have to scratch your head to get different options. But I don't think storage makes sense for you.
Especially with the power outage.
Yeah, power outage would do that. Yeah, God knows we've had enough of those recently.
Yeah, we go through power outages where we have spikes. That'd be something for us to monitor. I don't think they can nail us on a demand charge during a power outage.
Because it's not providing us any power.
Right.
Yeah. So the other question was lease or purchase. The quote you're giving is for purchase. Do you have a lease program?
Was the question about whether leasing rather than purchase, is that what you said?
Just as a comparison, what's the lease cost and what's the purchase cost?
Lease cost? Typically what a lot of people do if they don't want to buy the system, they'll get what they call, there's leasing, but that's not very popular. A more popular strategy is to use what is called a power purchase agreement. Those are available. And under that scenario, the provider would come in and he would pay for the system, he would install it and operate it, and then he would just charge you for the actual energy that you use. But the rate that he charges will be less than what you pay PG&E. So you'll get some nominal savings in your utility bill, but you don't have to put out any capital investment to construct and operate the system. That's the provider's responsibility.
Okay. Good.
Can you share that power with other agencies around, or is it ours? Sorry, when we do a power purchase agreement, do you lease that same power out to anybody else around that wants to utilize it, or is that just strictly the Time of Discovery Base plant?
Usually the way they are operating is that the provider
I'm good.
I think that's good. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome. I'm still here, so if you have a question, feel free to call.
Okay.
You got it. Thank you.
Okay.
So that was good. Any other?
I'm just wondering, are there grants out there, either PG&E grants, state grants, Water Resource Control Board grants, whatever.
I believe PG&E has solar grants.
Okay.
Because they want you to send their power back to their
Yeah,
area.
Sure. I also talked to Supervisor Burgess, and said the county is using MCE. I think it's a power purchase agreement deal. So I got the name of the person from MCE that's
They had something that they said when we first signed on.
You need longer arms.
MCE is the one that did the dog and pony show for us, and they were talking about a solar startup. But they said that was you have to start that. You're entitled to that if you go with your program initially.
Okay.
And so I think that. And then they said, otherwise, that's off the table.
Okay.
So, but I don't know if we're talking apples and apples and
what
you just presented.
Okay.
So that's something we're looking at.
I can give Don a call and find out what it is.
On the side of this, I did have a vendor come out, a few months ago at the wastewater plant to look at putting solar on the roofs at the admin building and on the equipment store building that would feed during the day. It would fixed feed on top of the building, and also at the water plants, so they would feed during the day to operate the water plants. It is more like a purchase. It will store the energy and use it as you need it. Mm-hmm. But most of our facilities now have VFDs, so when the pump kicks on, it'll get a spike and then it levels out while the pump runs. And then based on demand on the water plants, the wastewater plants, the most of the energy is used at the aerators, mm-hmm. keep the biological, they run on DO to maintain the DO of the office. So when the DO falls, when DO gets high, the aerator shut off. Right. When DO gets low, it kicks on. And usually demand time during the summer is when it's out 100 degrees, because it's very hard to keep DO when it's hot, because the bugs struggle with the oxygen. And at nighttime, you usually have minimum energy running at night anywhere. So the main thing would be during the day, I think, if you wanted to look at something that is mm-hmm. reducing the cost during the day, because that's when usually most of the demand is during the daytime hours.
Okay.
And like I said, we were looking at that on all of our current buildings, just to feed the building.
Okay.
Bernie, do you know if Veolia has any other clients that are running solar?
Yeah, we do have a few clients we did actually have a client in Oregon that was self-sufficient. They were totally off the grid. They had solar. The plant I actually came from, we had solar power, and then we had a cogen, which we took the methane gas off the digester, which is around a generator, and then the energy picked up what was left, so there was actually no power being pulled off the grid. And we have a few plants like that around the country that we generate. It's all self-sufficient. Yeah. To do that, you need some type of anaerobic digestion because the town started taking in food waste. The food waste is very high in organic material, which produces methane gas. So they started a food waste business in town where everybody had all their leftover food going into a container and they picked it up and produced gas off of it. But we're not set up from anaerobic digestion.
Okay. Included in this, I would assume, is fencing and security.
Prior year, about 10 years ago, when I was in Colorado, when we built the facility there, we had 5 acres of solar panels. It was a tracking type. Also, like he said, you need a vendor to work with. You have to control the weeds under it because it'll block, snow blocks it out in Colorado. So you have to keep the panels completely clean all the time as they go and you need some type of maintenance service on it. Because if they get stuck in the track, they're not producing no energy for you.
Yeah. So the reason I said that is that if we were to settle on one of these, if 1.7, 1.8, we got added costs for security and the quote is the solar panel, but does that solar panel then, are they quoting connecting to our primary line?
Oh, I'm assuming it's part of it.
Yeah, I would assume we didn't want to make sure. I could have asked it at
any
time.
Plus, if you're going to go with something, you've got to be 1.7, 1.8, or whatever the number is, we're not going to write a check for 1.7 or 1.8. We're going to go talk to CSD Finance Authority and find out what we can do to finance such a project. And then, you know, what are the payments versus what is the savings on the PG&E side of things?
Yes.
And where's the knee of the curve?
Well, if he's saying 40%, so that's going to be like $28,000 versus $70,000.
And
Ms.
Anchor, what was
this for the wastewater plant? So our monthly bill on that plant ranges between $24,000 and $33,000 a month.
Just their portion of it.
Just the wastewater plant.
Okay. But if we went with something to satisfy the total bill,
Total bill you can't do, because how are you going to generate electricity there and send it over to the pump station?
Well,
you can only do the treatment plant at the treatment plant. Otherwise, your infrastructure costs are you can triple or quadruple it.
But the reality of solar is that you're not driving the power plant. All you're doing is feeding energy back into the line. So if we fed in enough to satisfy the need of everything, so they don't run off of the power generated. The solar panels. They just measure how much we fed back into PG&E.
I don't know that.
I'm pretty sure that's the way it is.
No, so it's just storing.
So if it, you know, you can look at solar panels, and I would have assumed this solar quote is to cover the full $70,000. That's why I almost like to get it over into, and if it's not, you're shaking your head, but if it's, get it over into dollars, and then we can see if we're talking.
Yeah.
Because we're going to be talking dollars, I am.
Yeah.
And they're going to be talking kilowatts. I can convert the two, but it's easier just to fix one common denominator here. So if it's 24,000 or someplace around 25,000 just for the solar plant, that's 1.8 million. Okay, I understand that. We calibrate. But can they give us enough to cover the entire PG&E, assuming I'm right, and that it's just, it's power fed back in? Because all it is to them is you create power fed back
so
in.
You're hearing these questions?
So we pay roughly 70, so I'm going to talk dollars, and they're going to talk kilowatt hours and PVs and all the rest, but our bill is roughly 70,000. Correct me if I'm, my estimate is bad, because we'll use it.
And that's the total PG&E bill.
For
the town's total.
Town of Discovery
Bay. So seven or nine bills somewhere in there?
So that the first question is, and had I known that, I would have asked Bob, but the 1.7 or 1.7 or 1.8 million quote, does that cover the $70,000, or does it cover only the wastewater plant consumption, which is, you said, about 24,000 to 25,000?
Well, it ranges between 24,000 and 32,000.
Okay. But what we don't know is, does 1 megawatt equal that or not?
Yeah.
And I have no clue how to do that calculation.
So they'll figure that out. That's fine.
Right.
So that would be the first question. And so therefore, you know, 1.7, 1.8 million, where would we get the money? We got to figure that out, okay. So it's not readily available.
Okay, so it would be depending on what we choose to do with DNA.
What we choose to do with what?
Denitrification.
One more time.
Denitrification project.
Okay, okay.
So it's either 3 million
got
or
it.
8 million.
Okay.
So it depends on the way we go for that.
Okay.
Okay,
and the well, new well, or does that play into
different
money? Different money. Okay, that's pressure. Okay, I got it. Okay. And the 1.7 million seems like a lot of money if we're going to be saving, 40,000 a month. So a lot of calculations have to be done to see if it's worthwhile. Okay, but we aren't there yet with understanding it. So the question before the board then, I think the way you worded it, are we ready to say, do we want an RFP or do we want more questions answered?
I think before we go out with an RFP, we should understand what it costs dollar-wise and what it will produce dollar-wise, and then what the delta is and whether, you know, what's the benefit to the town of Discovery Bay. And right now what we have is, well, it's going to cost this amount of money to get this kilowatts, but I have no idea what that means in terms of a energy cost bill debt to the town.
Okay, so let me try to
interpret.
So one question, Sue, you ready? Okay, so one question is, was the original pricing that he produced for the stationary and the tilting systems, was that only enough to power the wastewater plant 2? Or is that enough to power all of our electrical needs, the town use, the seven bills that we have, the water plants, the other sewer plant, etc.?
When he quoted this, this was just for the wastewater treatment plant too. He said that system can be expanded on to cover other facilities in town.
So then the question would be, what would it cost? Or, you know, what are the costs and the variables to do that for all of our PG, to cover all of our PG&E accounts?
And that's a great question because we're going to expand, but what we want to do is reduce that 70,000, and what we're going to end up doing if we only go to the wastewater plant, a big portion of it, but taking a small percentage of it, you know, 30-35%.
Right.
And we've got the acreage. We've got it.
And then we need to understand in terms of dollars rather than kilowatts.
Yes.
So that the layman can understand that it's costing us X on our PG&E bill. One bill being the water treatment plant and comparing apples and apples for just that system. And then
one that identifies the rest of our bills in relation to if we were to expand the system to cover all of it. Do you understand that? What I just said?
No.
But, so we got an A. One is just wastewater plant two, like he proposed. What are our cost savings when you factor in the account charge? That's what the PG&E has, that 40% account charge. The demand charge. What our net is, net savings dollar-wise. So that's A. And then B, do the same thing if it was to include our entire town PG&E bills. And then third, we'd like the analysis to look at ownership versus the not the lease program, but power purchase program. And then four, is he aware of any grants or agencies that recently received a grant to do any of these systems?
Or get our grant consultants.
Yes. Well, that's separate. Yeah, we have the grant consultant looking at that, I think. And then looking at, when we know some numbers, we'll look at CSBA financing. Yeah.
And then, maybe PG&E knows of a program, too.
Yeah, right. So check with Pete. I've got a contact with PG&E on grant programs and stuff, incentives for that.
And through all of those four steps or five, we want everything interpreted or presented as dollars. They can throw in kilowatts hours. We'll understand those, but dollars is the primary denomination.
In conclusion, this is the dollar.
Yeah. All right.
And how would you want that reported back? You can get it to the board. If we can get that done before the next committee meeting, maybe we'll all discuss the finance.
Whatever
you need to do. Okay. Any other discussion then on this stuff?
Do you have clear directions, Sue?
Okay, and a big thank you. I think this for preliminary information, this is absolutely superb. A lot of questions, and they wouldn't have been there had we not had the information, Gage. Thanks. Okay. That's good for D1 and D2 is discussion regarding the final budget.
So we just put this out there since, all of us have the committee, so we didn't know if you had any questions before we bring it to the board for adoption. So.
I just had a couple editorial things, and I'll just hand it to you. I don't want to beat up the group with it, but it's just, instead of people's names, like for Ludolf and Scalmany, I don't care whether it's Jason, whatever his name is, because he could be gone tomorrow.
Sure.
And the same with Perwitt, and the same with Beardsley and whatever.
Okay.
Good. Good feedback.
Other than that, looked good.
Okay. Looked great. It was good. Any question? I know that we had one comment coming in from Bill.
Yes.
Did we answer any of his?
So he did send them to me in an email. He did. So, but to answer the question for you, what was it, page 39 he said? The capital numbers that run across, well, that is correct, because that's what we...
Those are contributions to them, and I didn't want to know. It was kind of...
Well, I understood that when you said that.
I'm like, but that is correct, and that's what you mentioned on every department's page, so...
And you mentioned about the high payment to Veolia being that was dual months, 2 months.
Okay. No, actually, it was about generator.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Our generator purchase.
And it was 2 months.
Which would have been, he assumed it, but it was validated. Okay, good. So we close that out. Any other discussions on the final budget?
I don't. So I just wanted to leave that open for you. If you had anything else you wanted to change or didn't like or let me know.
You want some more changes?
I bet
no.
We could find some. Give us more time.
Okay.
So that'll come before you at the next meeting. I believe you'll be here. I think you're going to be running the next meeting.
Okay.
I think Kev's probably going to be out.
Okay.
To get some kind of a commitment, but I have not 100% confirmed that yet.
Okay. Okay. That'll be a big relief if all goes well. That's good. Thank you. Good job. A lot of work.
We're going to keep that agenda pretty light.
Okay. Okay. Future discussions? Agenda items? Hearing none? Meeting adjourned.
Good. Thank you all.
Thank you.